that I'd like to share with you this evening in our Tuesday night Bible study. And so we'll begin by leaping off of Matthew 25, verses 14 through 21. Amen. Matthew 25, 14 through 21, where the word of the Lord says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, delivered unto them his goods. He left them his goods." Kind of like the Lord. The Lord went away. He left the church with his blessings. And he said, "Unto one he gave five talents. To another he gave two. To another just one. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went, traded with the same, and he made other five talents." In other words, he doubled his talents. "And likewise he that received two, he also gained other two." He doubled his talents. "But he that had received one went, and he digged a hole in the dirt. And he hid his Lord's money." He hid it. He didn't make anything of it. Didn't do anything with it. "And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoneth with them. He brought them together, and he was asking them about, 'What have you done with what I gave you and what I blessed you with?' And so he that had received five talents came, brought other five talents, saying, 'Lord, you gave me five talents. Behold, I've gained beside them five more talents.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord.'" You know why the Lord said, "You've been faithful over a few things"? It's because he only gave him a few things. He gave him five talents, just five. And the man doubled them. And the Lord said, "You were faithful over those few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things." Amen. And so he said, "Well done, and I'll make you ruler." Praise God. 22. Let's go to 22. Do we have 22? We don't have 22. I didn't say 22. Oh, let's read it. "The Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good.'" Again, hallelujah. Here it is. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship." I am blowing it. Sorry, Brother Tyre. My bad. Again, strike three. I should be out, but you've got mercy on me. God bless the sound men for what they have to put up with. Hallelujah. Amen. 14 through 21. If I'd read what I got, then I would know. But it's the story of the talents, what God has given, what God has blessed with, and then what we are doing with it. Praise God. This is not a bashing session here tonight, because I don't do that. It's a learning time and perhaps a maintenance time. Praise God. And so, you know, we're not going to be judged by what we gained as much as by what we have sown. Because you don't gain anything without the Lord of the harvest giving it to you. If you'll notice, he gave to them first. And then he expected them to do something with it. And when one of them didn't, he took away what he gave him and gave it to the one that did the most. We know how it works with God. And so, whatever he's given, we sow with it. And then there's going to be great gain. You've heard the story. Let me tell it again for those that haven't. You can take one kernel of corn and plant that this spring, this coming spring, plant that one kernel of corn. Okay, that's one kernel of corn that I have given to the dirt. And if every kernel of corn is planted, that one begins to produce in 3 years, just 3 years, you will have a cornfield the size of the United States of America. And so it is with people, whether it be one talent, two, or five, if we just simply do something with it, what can God accomplish? Amen. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we talk and speak to the citizens of the kingdom. I'll explain that momentarily, but the title is To the Citizens of the Kingdom. Amen. Aren't you glad you're not a citizen of this world anymore? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you, praise you, honor you, worship you, and exalt you. We're thankful tonight to be able to stand around the Word of God as if it were a fireplace, Lord, to make us feel better. And Lord, we want to be intrigued by it. We want to be drawn to it and look into it and gaze into it and receive from it, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name to help us tonight through the Word of God. And somebody shout amen. Thank you so much for being here. Shake someone's hand just before you're seated. And let's enjoy the Word of God together. Praise God. I found out that Brother Mike was in the hospital, and so I made my way to go see him. And it's amazing how that if you were to go visit him in the hospital, how that by the time you left, you would be more encouraged than him. He makes it his purpose to encourage. He makes it his purpose to be a blessing. Amen. And I have simply, in the last couple, 3 weeks or so, I've been very intrigued with Brother Mike. God is up to something great with this man. And so Jesus had a topic that he spoke of very often. Bible writers call it by one or two names. Number one, the kingdom of heaven, and number two, the kingdom of God. It's not a substitute word for heaven. It's the kingdom that God rules in heaven and in earth. Amen. Jesus spent much of his time teaching people about this kingdom, what it's like, how to live as kingdom citizens. When asked who the greatest person in the kingdom is, Jesus called over a child, took the child in his arms, and he said, "Anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." They are the greatest citizen in the kingdom of heaven. He used parables as well. A shepherd leaves his flock of 99 sheep to find one missing sheep. When he finds it, he rejoices. Jesus said God rejoices too when a lost person returns to the heavenly kingdom where he belongs. Finding lost sheep is the ministry of Jesus, and it's the ministry he passes on to his disciples. I walked into the hospital room, and there's a maid cleaning the room where Brother Mike was. I walked in. I said hello to everyone. She even said hello to me. She left, and I began to talk to Brother Mike. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "before we start talking, I just thought I'd tell you, she's going to be with us Sunday, and her husband's going to be there, and her family's going to be with us in church Sunday." And then he said, he just intrigues me. And then he said, "You know, Pastor," he said, "I'm so glad you're here," he said, "because I've got a question for you." He said, "I don't really know what God wants me to do." I just almost laughed, you know, because I've had my eyes on him. And there's been numbers of people that have visited this church because of his witness. And he said, "I just don't know what God wants me to do for him." And I said, "Well, Brother Mike, what did Jesus come for?" And we talked about how Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. And I said, "You're already doing the highest calling in the kingdom of God. And that is to be a soul winner, because that is the only reason Jesus came. And that's what you're doing. So you've already taken on the nature of your God, your Savior." He said, "That's my calling?" I said, "Yeah." Then I went to see him today. And so I was standing beside him. He's still a little bit, you know, nervous about this calling thing. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "so you think I'm called to be a soul winner?" And when we were talking about that, a little nurse walked in, and she wanted to check his blood pressure and everything. I think about three times she asked him to please be still so I can get this blood pressure thing. He's just all over the bed. He wants out. He wants to stand up. He wants to go witness. He wants to go knock on doors. He wants to do this. And they can't get him to calm down. And then while she's talking to him, he takes a flyer from the side of his bed over. He's got a stack of Landmark flyers over there. He takes one of those flyers and drops it in her pocket while she's talking. He's going, she's talking to him. He goes, she leaves. He said, you're sure that's what my calling is? I said, Brother Mike, I'm pretty sure that's what your calling is. And it's just intriguing, and it is so refreshing to see somebody coming to it so natural that, you know, they don't have to be reminded, and they don't have to be convicted and just drugged to an altar and beat on by the Word of God constantly, and then finally get it and say, I think I need to be a soul winner. He's a soul winner and doesn't even know it. He's found his niche and doesn't even realize it. He's one that God left with five talents. I know that to whom much is given, much is required, and God has given Brother Mike much. If you just hear the story where he's come from, it is unbelievable. He said, when I get over all of this, he said, I want to hit the streets, and I'm going to get as many, if it's okay with you, Pastor, he said, I just want to get a few people to go with me. We're going to knock on doors. He said, it doesn't bother me to approach people. He said, I've been to New York. He said, I've walked up and down the streets. He said, I've done all that. He said, if you knew me before I knew the Lord, you wouldn't even like me. I said, same here, buddy. You know, and so he was telling me all that. He said, so to confront people, walk up to people, talk to people, that doesn't bother me. And he said, I just need another handful just like that. And he said, we'll win some souls for God. And so it is. Praise God. And so it's intriguing. It's delightful. You leave the hospital room saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, you know. And so I want to give you three main tools that you can use that will make you a benefit to the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to hear, as the Lord said in the book of Matthew, well done. I want to hear that. That's all I want to hear from God. He doesn't owe me anything. I owe him everything. The only thing I want to hear him say is well done. Amen. And then for eternity, we'll talk about deer hunting and stuff or whatever. But I really want to hear him say, well done. How many of you want to hear that? Good. Well, then that's why you're here tonight. 90% of any good job is the quality of tools that a person maintains. Amen. I've made myself laugh at myself. And I have made myself want to shoot myself because of a lack of what I need to get a job done. I told you before once, maybe you didn't get to hear it, but I want you to laugh at me tonight. I went to the gate of the deer lease we hunt, and I was going to put a privacy chain across there, and I went at it. I bought one of those little links that you weave in there, and then you smash it. You got to open it up, and then you got to smash it together. It's just like a chain link, and it's real tough, and it's real hard. It's metal, steel, and you got to put it all together, and it puts two pieces of chain together. And I was sitting there in the middle of that path, and just all I had was a hammer and a screwdriver. I was thinking, you knew you were going to have to do this. Why didn't you bring the proper tools? You know you don't have the right tools, but Jeremy does. And so you ask Jeremy. But I didn't. And I'm there with a screwdriver, and I'm there with a hammer or whatever. And I finally got the little link thing wide enough to squeeze the other end of the chain into it, and I got it in there, and man, I was happy then because I had a hammer. I put it on a rock, I hammered that together tighter than it was when I had to undo it, and I went to put the chain up and didn't know it, but I put the one end of the same chain on the other end of the very same chain, and all I had was a circle. The other chain that I needed on it was still laying there. My hands were beat up because I missed several times, and I didn't have the right, and it would twist and turn, and I had to undo it again and redo it again. Needless to say, a job that could have been done in 30 seconds took me about 2 hours. And so every job, it requires the perfect tools. I want to put a couple of three tools in your hands that will assist you when we arrive, and you can hear the Lord say, "Well done, amen." And so another thing that we've got to do to assure a job well done is resist the normal, amen. You've heard it said many times, if you want your house painted, go to the man's house that needs painting badly, amen. Or if you need your car fixed, go to the man that his car is smoking and you can hear it for 5 miles away and it's broke down all the time. Because a lot of people just can't resist the normal. Amen. Just barely get what you need and get by. Just barely get what you want and just get by. Just maintain what you want and just get by. When God wants to give us so much more to bless and help us as well as many others. Do you believe that? So number one, let's look at 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. I want to read that for you here tonight. Did we put that down there, brother? I'm sorry. I'm doing good, huh? I'm on a roll. Praise God. I'll tell you what, brother Tyre, you go ahead and get Colossians 4, 10 through 12. And somebody out there in the audience help me tonight with 1 Corinthians 9, 27. Somebody get that real quick. Praise God. If you get that, jump to your feet and sound like a trumpet and read it for us. We got a bigger church here tonight. All right. I'm already committed now. Amen. Somebody got that? Somebody want that? All right, here we go. But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When, if you want a house painted, go to the man that needs his house painted. But hopefully tonight, if you want a sermon preached, go to the preacher that needs a sermon preached to him. I don't want that. If you want a soul winner, we need to find somebody's house in here that's a soul winner. If we want somebody that will teach a Bible study, I'd like to be able to go to your house and find somebody that will teach a Bible study, not somebody that needs one again. Right? Want somebody to live it, love it, give it, praise God. Amen. Can we go to your house and find somebody that can do that? Or when we go to your house, do we need to live it, love it, and give it again and again, again, again? Amen. So what the Lord is looking for is for those that he's given talents to, and that's everybody. That's the whole church. And when he comes back, he would like to see those. They don't have to be doubled, but he would like to see them sown so they can be grown. Am I making sense? Wave at me like I'm making sense. Praise God. Amen. God forgive you if you're just being nice. Praise God. But number one, we've got to have prayer. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verses number 4. Acts 10 and 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." That's what your prayers can do. Build a memorial. Acts 11, 14. Look at this. "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" In this situation, a man prayed, built a memorial out of prayer. And in this situation, according to chapter 11, that prayer wound up saving his soul from a devil's hell. So not only will prayer save you, but prayer will also reach out to others and save them through you. And it will set up a memorial before God for you, and God will hear it. We have got to give God something to hear. We've got to give God something to build on, something to nurture, and something to bless. And a prayer life is a good place to start. Amen. And then the Bible says, lets us know we still need the revelations of truth. And the revelations of truth can only come through prayer. Amen. Praise God. Look at Colossians 4 and 10. And 4:10 through 12. Praise the Lord. Look at this. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Mark, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Praise God. Wow. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom. These only. He's letting us know there's no one else. These are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Praise God. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. Look at this, servants, leaders. Amen. They salute you, always laboring. Laboring how? Somebody help me. Fervently for you how? In prayer. Prayer is hard sometimes. Amen. But yet it's not too hard to pray. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Prayer does that when we labor fervently. Amen. 1 Peter 3 and 12. Take a look at that. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open. His ears are open. His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So what is it? Is it good to pray? Is it evil not to? You decide. Is it right to pray? If it's right to pray, is it wrong not to pray? So what should we do? Shouldn't we pray? Look at Revelations 5 and 8. I like this. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, which was Jesus Christ, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Wow. Pouring all of that out. My, my, my. Every prayer still lives. Every word still speaks. Every verb still spoken. Every noun still seen. Ladies and gentlemen, let's stack them up. Amen. Let's fill every vial. Praise God. I don't want us to be standing there and wonder where ours is. Amen. Everyone is heard. Everyone is listed. And every prayer is recorded. That's worth recording prayer. Amen. So prayer is a very vital tool. Amen. To hearing the Lord say eventually, job well done. Secondly is fasting. Look at Romans 8, 4 through 9. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Everybody shout, in us. Amen. Not your neighbor, not just your pastor, not just the voices that sing to us, but everyone might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Sacrifice the flesh through fastings. Amen. There's nothing like a good fast to burn a nasty attitude. Whoa. There's nothing like a good fast to feed the spirit and starve the flesh. Even physicians will tell you that it's good to go at least one day or so a week without eating. Sometimes people will listen to physicians before they will listen to God, so listen to your physician. Amen. Praise God. And understand that fasting will feed the spirit and it will starve the flesh. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 5. Look at the Word of God here tonight. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't just receive the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and in fastings. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's amazing. People want to sing, but they don't want to pray, and they don't want to fast. People want a job in the church, and they want position, but they don't want to pray, and they don't want to fast. People want to be on the platform, but they don't even want to come to church. Amen. Praise God. Why? If you're not going to pray to a God that you love, if you're not going to fast and tear down the flesh so the spirit can survive, why would you want to sing? Why would you want to be a leader? Why would... Is it because you feel like it's a name? You feel like the position is a great gain? What is that all about? The only thing that I wanted to do when I got in church as a 17-year-old teenager was work on bus ministry. They gave me the chance. Brother Hopper came to me and he said, Kenny, would you like to join the bus ministry team? I said, yes, sir. And when I started on the bus ministry team and got into the groove of knocking on doors, recording addresses, and doing follow-up on that, and then when I eventually got my own bus, amen, and incidentally, I had a record attendance of 100 on my bus. That's all. That is all I ever wanted to do, was drive a bus and bring children to church, or whoever wanted to ride the bus. That's all I ever wanted to do. I'm just going to tell you, it ain't my fault I'm up here tonight. I wanted to drive a bus. But when God gives it to you, He expects return. And when He pours it out, He don't want to pour it out. You read the scripture. He don't want to pour it out in vain. He wants it to come back to Him. Don't shelter it. Don't cover it up. And don't hide it on an island in an isolated place, because when He comes back to see what He's gained from it, is if it hasn't gained anything, He's going to give it to somebody else that's gained a little bit. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The enemy is a spirit. How many of you know that? And so we've got a counterattack in the spirit. Look at Matthew 17, 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and, somebody shout, fasting. 1 Corinthians 7, 4 through 5. Something we ought to give ourselves to. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. There's just some times that you've got to get away with God and God alone, with prayer and fasting, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Amen. After the prayer and after the fasting, we can go back to normal for a season. But listen, we need to understand there are times that we have to set aside for prayer and for fastings. Psalms 69, verse number 10. Who is this fasting for? When I wept and I chastened when I chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. So the Word of God is telling us that fastings are not for you, and they are not necessarily for God. God doesn't need strength. God doesn't need any more anointing. God doesn't need any more power nor authority. But I do. And that's what comes to me through prayer and fasting. It is an inflicting of discipline to the flesh. It is you looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, not today. And sometimes, not this week. Amen. We've got people that have fasted 20 days or more. Amen. And have obtained great things from God in miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. I've prayed for people with cancer and they've been instantly healed. And then there was an individual that my wife prayed for, and the Lord spoke to her and said that I want you to fast. And she fasted 21 or 22 days. And that person was healed. I'm not going to say it's going to happen every time, but I'll tell you this. You fast 21 and 22 days, and whether something happens good for that person you're praying for or not, something good is going to happen to you. And that's a promise. So prayer and fasting. And then thirdly, Bible reading. Amen. Praise God. Now, just because the chart is over in an abandoned building doesn't mean you can't. Some of you smiling at me, kind of funny. Amen. Amen. Let's get back over there and put our check marks on the chart. The chart will be in this building next year, I promise. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we have a chart over there, and we put our name on it, and we read our Bible throughout the year, and each month we check that month off. And many of you are reading your Bibles every year consistently. We probably have new first-timers this year, and that's absolutely awesome. We're going to have people that started but didn't finish, but you started. Maybe the year coming up, you can finish. Amen? And so prayer, fasting, Bible reading, Psalms 119, 105. Look at this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. How many of you need a lamp in this darkness out here? And it is a light unto my path. We need that lamp and we need that light. Because Isaiah prophesied in chapter 60, he said, gross darkness is going to cover the people. But if we have the word, we have the light, or we have the lamp and we have the light. Proverbs 13:13. Here's what we've got to do with the word. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Amen. So we need to fall in love with the word, and we will receive the reward. What is the greatest reward? And that is to hear him say, well done. Proverbs 15:23. Amen. How many times has the word of God spoken to you right on time? A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? And God will speak a word in the perfect season and in the perfect timing if we will open our Bibles. Somebody said, I desperately need to hear from God. Read the word. He still speaks to his people from his word. If I depended on hearing the voice of God to lead me, I'd be in spiritual starvation, because I've only heard that in the 40-some-odd years that I've lived for God. I've only heard that like 2, maybe 3 times. But I can hear the Word of God every day if I want to, for as long as I want to, from the Bible. What's the difference? What's the difference? Amen. Right? So Proverbs 15:23, a man's going to have joy, and it's in due season. Psalms 33, verse number 4. Amen. Something God cannot do. He cannot lie. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. So he will not lie to you. You do not have to doubt the word of God. If his word says it, I believe it, and that ought to settle it for every one of us. Psalms 119, verse 11. Why should we hide the word of the Lord in our hearts? David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Here's why, that I might not sin against thee. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it's sad when people are in church and they don't want to be. I'm talking about sitting here and they don't want to be. You're bringing a judgment upon yourself, and it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. I know people that don't like church, people that don't like truth-filled preaching, but when trouble comes, they come to church, and they'll shout like a banshee, and God will give him what they need. But they need to understand that when you're judged by the word, and understand this, when we stand before him, he will judge us according to these books and according to the era of time that you lived within the framework of this book. We are the last generation, and God expects more from us than he does every generation totaled, because we have the whole unadulterated word of God. Amen. And so when we stand before him, some will be able to say, I cast out devils in your name. I laid hands on the sick in your name. But yet he will look at them and say, I don't know you. Depart from me. You see, faith can do a lot of things. But we need to understand, just because we have faith. See, we were born with faith. But the Bible also says that we were born in sin. And so just because you can get your faith worked up and get a good shout going on every 6 months at Landmark does not mean you are saved. The Bible says we've got to have a love for the house of God. And it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Don't let this just go over your head, because you're going to need this in the future when cancer comes knocking on your door, when oxygen has to be rolled in and you're only 30-something years old and you can't understand why. I'm going to tell you why tonight. It's because there's got to be a love of God in your heart. And if the only time you can have a love of God in your heart is when you're sick and on your deathbed, then the Lord may bless you that way. But if you can just naturally take a stand for the Lord and draw a line in the sand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, then you're going to serve the Lord with health. You're going to serve the Lord with a little wealth. You're going to serve the Lord with blessing, and he's going to add to you, and you're going to add to the kingdom of God. That's just the way it works. We're judged by the word of God. The word of God is what's going to judge us, not our opinions. Amen. And all of that business. And so three tools that we need that are so significant to hearing God say, well done, is prayer, fasting, and Bible reading. Would you stand with me tonight? If you have these three tools, you will hear him say, enter in, my good and my faithful servant. Job well done. Now, it doesn't matter to me if I'm that five guy, that two guy, or that one guy. That is so irrelevant to me. I could care less. The Lord said, giving talent according to their ability. If I'm a one-man ability, I don't care. Two, five, it doesn't matter. But Lord, if you give it to me, I'm going to do everything I can to double it before you get back. I don't want you taking back what you gave to me and giving it to someone else and casting me out. I want to hear you say, well done. Is anybody hungry for that? Why don't we turn the sanctuary into an altar, close our eyes and lift our hands. Let's ask God to help us. Let's ask him to help us initiate these tools here tonight. Holy Ghost, give me more prayer. Give me more fastings. Jesus, give me more Bible. so that not that I can say I pray more, not that I can say I fast more, not that I say I read my Bible through this year, but Lord, so that I can obtain instruction, so that I can obtain direction, guidance, wisdom, and knowledge, and understanding in the true will of God for my life and my family, leadership, guidance. Lord, all these things that come with these three simple things, that's what I need tonight. And I pray it, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful and mighty name. Can you shout amen? Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being the house of God tonight. Go with